You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. This is Lee in for Phil Williams. We are in the Right Side studios with our local, state, and national discussing all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. That was an interesting hour, Butters, talking about the library issues. And I got a couple of texts on that I found interesting. John, this is John from Highway 20, wherever you are on Highway 20 there, John. He had some interesting comments saying there's nothing to stop kids from going to the adult section and reading the material in the libraries either. He says, I'm saying there's ways to distinguish kids within the system. Most libraries also note JF for junior fiction or NF or NF for adult versions. He said he worked in libraries for over 10 years. So there's ways to distinguish the different kinds of books. So
yeah, this can't be anything new.
No.
So I don't know, but it's been very informative, and I think it's a symptom of a local government, a local, you know, community problem. There's so many other, you know, so many other topics and so many other issues, it speaks so much to. Yeah, like what's going on with the presidential, you know, debates and that's all important. But what's really going to matter to your kid tomorrow is your local, you know, your library board and your local
county commissioners.
Like, you've got to pay attention to that stuff.
I totally agree. And I think that's kind of, I think apathy is the true enemy of all of this, just counting on other people to do things for you, counting on the library to curate everything. And I'm pointing the finger at myself too.
I'm there. You know, folks have probably heard Phil. We talked about the rendering plan issue that we had here locally in Gadsden, Etowah County, and that opened my eyes. I was one that was sitting there going, you know, like school boards and city councils, like that's something that my mom and my grandma, and, you know, my grandfather did. That's not me. And then you go, oh, wait a second. We've kind of been on autopilot, I feel like. And,
you know, agreed.
Don't want to take that responsibility. And
they know it. Yeah. And they think they know they can do what they like, and people just don't seem to notice. And that's the problem, is when you shine the light on a bad behavior, people tend to scatter, you know, like roaches when you turn the light on. It's like, whoa, no, we don't want light shine on anything. I think what we need to do is pay a lot more attention on local and on our county commissioners, on our delegates, like everything local. Do we want people who are actual Republicans or squishy Republicans, right? What do we want for our towns, our counties? It doesn't matter that we're a deep red state if we're not paying attention to who's running things.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, you can see, especially here in the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
I think you take, you know, being a conservative for granted. There are plenty of politicians or people that are interested in running, that they know, hey, if I got a D next to my name on the ballot, I got no chance. So what are they doing? They're jumping into your Republican, you know, because I've got to have an endorsement by somebody.
Right.
So yeah, you better not. I mean, do a straight ticket. Like you need to go investigate, because your local state representative, your local state senator, you know, they might have a bigger impact on your life than you think.
For certain. And I believe that during the big switch, you know, kind of when the Republicans took the majority in the state and then really did a super majority, there was a lot of those old, you know, blue dog Democrats or whatever. They just slapped an R on there. If you cut through the red, you'll find the blue underneath. That is just the truth. And what they're in it for is self and aggrandizement, self-enrichment, you know, just like a lot of politicians. What you have to figure out is, and you have to hold their feet to the fire. And when we've talked to some of these people in state government, in, you know, senators and representatives, they don't really want, they always try to pass the buck on the library issue. Oh, well, that's not a legislative issue, or that's not, you know, this is local or whatever. I'm like, but you're funding them. If you want to affect change, hit somebody in the pocketbook and find out how fast the library rewrites and does things differently when they're going to lose their funding.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's a, you know, to circle back to that, I was thinking, What is the funding that comes from the national level versus the state level?
The national level, now I'm not an expert on this, but from what I know, the national is more, like the ALA, is more providing like training and, you know, advising and things like that. They're not funding that. We actually fund them by the libraries being members. But the state funds a certain amount, the local, like the city of Huntsville, I believe they fund like $5 million into the Huntsville-Madison County Library. I think the mayor should be like, we should be able to walk up to the mayor and say, you approve of these books in the library? Because you're giving them $5 million. Do you want them to spend on this book? We need to ask them in public forums, you know, politely, of course, but they're going to have to answer and say, yes, I support this, or no, I don't.
Well, and John from Highway 20, as he's in our system, said national funds, lots of money in grants. That's what I would imagine. So an 80-20 match. And that's, if your tax dollars are tied up into it, you know, if you hear anybody that's at the state political level, or anybody in politics saying, oh, that's not my problem. Yeah, it is.
And they do. And this is a common, why? Because they don't want to come forward and take a stand on something that may come back to haunt them, in the sense of somebody calling them a phobe of whatever you want to say, right? Or saying they're, you know, bigoted or whatever. They don't want it. They're very scared of taking a stand on anything. Whereas this is literally just basic as it gets. Just put a rating system and have a child not be able to check out a book above their rating system. And I also believe that parents should be sent an email when their child checks out a book, so you know what book your child's checked out, even if it's within their age group. Because maybe that's not something you think is appropriate as a parent. We are the ultimate arbiter of what our children read and take in and digest. We should be, as responsible parents, because what I think is okay may not be my next door neighbor's idea of okay. And I think that, you know, as parents, we have to control that, and we have to stay on top of that, and we can't abdicate our responsibility to the libraries and hope that they're doing something, because they're not. And I just think that. But as we're taxpayers, and ultimately these senators and representatives and city government are all spending the money that we give them.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Make them stand on their decision.
Well, and I mean, we kind of turned this into a conversation about local politics, but I think that is, you know, okay, how do we solve this? It is remarkable to me to see kind of the vitriol, the pushback when you go, I just want to have a conversation with you. Like, not necessarily accusing. I'm not going to accuse you of anything until I accuse you of something, because you're you know, the way you want to react. How dare you tell me what I, you know, like, but you work for me. I you know, and obviously we as citizens, when we approach government entities, you got to do it with respect. And you've got to do it in a right way, but it is amazing to see that, you know, how dare you talk to me about this?
The pushback is real. And I even approached a state senator and said, you know, hey, can you kind of take a stand on this and, you know, help us, figure out how to kind of wave some funding in front of these people and say, you might not get it. And at first he told me I wasn't his state, senator. I'm like, you are. I looked. I'm positive. And then it's kind of like, well, okay, and yeah, we're coming. We're doing things. It's just very vague.
Yeah.
And these things happen. But I think that these people are going to have to take a stand, and they're going to have to say either I support it or I don't. And you have to hold their feet to the fire. And that means local. That means state and representative for the state level. That means people up in, you know, up in Washington.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those rich men north of Richmond. Yeah. So.
Well, hey, so we've kind of dragged this dipper on in to another break time. You want to hit a break and then we'll come back and
we'll get on to the noise.
Hit the cacophony.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this. I've enjoyed it, guys. Thanks for all the texts. And thanks for chiming in there, John, on some info from your experience with libraries. So we will be right back.
We're back. This is Lee in for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're solid conservative and just plain right. I think we've exhausted the library topic, so we are going to move on to the third dipper, a cacophony of noise, which kind of seems like an overwhelming amount of noise, if you will, there, betters. Just so much noise that, you know, you don't even know what direction it's coming from. Yeah. Like an Alabama win at the stadium. You know, it's a cacophony of noise. last one.
I've heard those in my days at Auburn as well. So.
Yes, I'm sure you have. Bless you. So I wanted to read a part of an article about this, about consuming too much information, which is kind of what I meant by cacophony of noise. Just, there's so much out there. There's so much information. There's so much trying to get your attention, from podcasts to radio to TV to, I mean, you name it. Everybody's pulling at trying to get someone's attention and for them to pay attention and for them to support them and like them and buy their merch, et cetera. There's just so much. And I was just going to read a bit on this one. So since the beginning of the internet, the volume of information has been growing exponentially. Without even realizing it, we're pumping out unbelievable amounts of data onto the web every day. By unbelievable here, I mean about 2.5 quintillion bytes. I didn't even know that was a thing. Quintillion. Okay. That's a one with 18 zeros after it. If you've had a hard time grasping how much that is, you're far from alone. Let's translate this impossible to imagine number into something we all understand. There are so many HD movies on the web today, you would need 47 million years to watch them all. 47 million. There are over 1.8 billion websites out there, and on average, 571 new ones are created every minute. That's how much data we're generating. It's no wonder that information overload has become an issue. The large volume of information is not a problem per se. The real problems are the lack of information quality control on hand and our inability to control the flow of incoming information on the other hand. Given the situation, it's not surprising that some of us suffer from information overload and feel an urgent need for information detox. Information overload, they define it as... information overload is a state of feeling overwhelmed by the volume of information to the point at which one feels more confused than knowledgeable about a particular topic. Information overload can manifest itself as brain fog and difficulty making decisions. Some have labeled it info obesity, and data smog. I like it. I think that consuming so much information, it confuses us more than informs us in some ways. And like I'm sitting here with two TVs on above your head, Butters, and I can see all this information flashing and it gets my attention as we're, you know, talking or when we go to break. And, you know, I just see where Hunter Biden's been indicted on more tax issues and, you know, spending money on questionable. I did not know that you could take a tax deduction for a category called, quote, women. Quote, unquote. like 800 something thousand that he spent on women. I don't know what that means. Prostitutes, I guess. I don't know. But that's crazy. And that's a deduction. I just don't understand what world they live in. But so you see all this information hitting you all the time. And it's like you know a little bit about everything, but you're a master of none, you know? And I feel like that sometimes we can be overwhelmed and we can be almost tricked into thinking we truly understand a subject. And I'm a offender on this one as well. You get a little information, you're an expert, right? But sometimes these people on CNN are the same way. Guarantee you they didn't know anything about this subject before they were called and said, hey, you're going to jump on here and talk about it. You know? So I think it's just more, everyone's barfing information out and it becomes hard to.
You definitely in today's world, you definitely have got to be intentional about your information sources. You've got to understand more about where you're getting the information from, about the context you're getting the information. You definitely can get completely overwhelmed, you know, and you've got systems that have been well designed to keep you going down rabbit holes of information that don't really add any value to your life. So
is there a military acronym for that? Too much information? I mean, I know there's TMI, but I'm just saying, like, too much like information coming at you.
No, I mean, I guess from my experiences and guys, I know we got a lot of veterans and military folks in the audience. If you've got a term, nothing's coming to my mind, but one thing that does kind of occur to me from the aviation side of things is managing the information that's coming in, and then trying to use that to make decisions. You know, it's a big. That's a big deal, you know, on the military side of things. Now you've got more information than we've ever had, and it makes the battle space more complicated, and that translates directly to our everyday life.
I mean, I think it can give you a false confidence that you really know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah, you know?
Definitely.
Although I do love that I tend to fact check sometimes, you know, and I'll like pull up the phone and be like, are you sure? And it's funny because I have a child that does that. And they're like, I'm like, okay, I know. But sometimes people's opinions kind of masquerade as facts. And I think you have to really know what you're looking at and be able to. And I think the way the information comes at you is confusing. When you see like TikTok and all of these very short video I mean, how long is your average one there? I mean, they're putting out, what, 10, 15, 20 seconds, maybe?
On TikTok now, I mean, they're getting up towards a minute. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
But if you think
30 seconds, yeah.
The way your brain absorbs information, to get it in 30-second bites, one-minute bites, is very different than we've ever done it before. And it causes an inability to actually concentrate on or read something for any length of time. I mean, have you caught yourself just stopping reading something because you feel like, yeah, I got enough of that, and you move on? It's like we don't even finish things. It's like we want things in bites and, you know, instant and, you know. Oh, yeah. And I feel as if it's changed the way our brain is programmed to and wired to watch things and to absorb things. I don't think that's a good thing.
No. We're as we'd say in the military, we're PowerPoint deep. And we don't really dive in and become experts. We just want to see PowerPoints.
PowerPoint deep.
Whew. Give me a slide. Now you need to read. You need to read it about it. Don't just look at the slides.
I agree. Love it.
All right. Well, we'll be back for the last half hour. So
it's gone by fast.
Yes.
Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
And we're back. I love that intro. That is middle school, I think. I don't know. I heard that and it was like that Mind Blown commercial where you have like the purple that flies up out of your head. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that was when I heard Slash playing that. I was like, what is that? Oh. And then I saw him in concert and I was just like, oh yeah, that was my jam. Love me some hair bands and all that. Loved it. Good 80s music. So we've got a special guest stop by. So say hello, special guest.
Well, hello, Ruffian Nation. This is Boomer. How is everyone?
Oh, Boomer showed up. Yay.
I just happened to stop by. I was driving by and I was listening. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stop in the studio. And then, yeah, that's what I did.
That was awesome.
I was going to jump on with y'all. But hey, I loved making a little appearance here and there.
So you're going to confuse everyone.
Right.
We still every day. Where did Boomer go? Oh. Where did Boomer go? Now somebody's, wait, Boomer's back?
Wait, what is he doing on the air? I'm just jumping in and stealing some waves while Phil's out.
Give us a woo-woo.
you mean one of these?
Woo-woo! Yeah.
Woo-woo!
Phil, I miss you. I wish you were here today, but it's okay. I get to see Lee. I gave her a big old hug.
Aw, I'm a good substitute, I guess, for Phil, but he's going to want to see you in person. I do have a funny text. Someone texted in. They really liked Infobesity, which I thought was funny. That is too much information for sure. And someone else texted, one quintillion is easy to comprehend by a man. It's the length of your honeydew list from your wife.
That's actually pretty good.
I don't know. I hope I don't have one quintillion, but it does get long.
Well,
I agree.
See, my honeydew list at home is I have my list. And then my wife has her list. So I only know part of her list, and because it just is ever growing, you know?
Stuff is ever breaking, Boomer.
That's just how it is, and I accept it.
Things don't ever stop. There's never equilibrium where you go, nothing's broken. Nothing needs fixing. That just doesn't happen. Not in a household, I don't think. But I'm excited you're here. What do you think about the topic of too much information?
Oh, okay. So right before I walked in, I was listening, and y'all were on that subject of all that too much information and how much is out there, and we're only getting that one little glimpse. I look at it as, yes, there's too much information in watching, but then everyone is really only geared towards what they're actually tuned into. So if they're only into their Fox or CNN or only to their people that they look on Instagram or Twitter, then because there's so much information out there, I believe that they're going to really dive in with those and think that those are the hear all say all. Like, that's it. Like,
that's what actually everyone thinks when
it's really not.
Yeah, I think anyone can suffer from that. If you consume too much media that is all geared towards, say, conservatism, you're going to have an overinflated sense of that everyone is conservative. But I also think it's the same thing, like in California, they can't, or say like Hollywood. I think Hollywood's a really good example. They don't understand that life outside of Hollywood, that people think they're crazy.
Oh, yeah, because inside Hollywood, it's just, This is how it is.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My history degree from Auburn. Getting a history degree. I didn't go be a lawyer. I joined the military. Not a whole lot else you can do with that. But one thing that I do appreciate from that academic endeavor is really the critical thinking and understanding of the context of the information you consume. Mm-hmm. So there's no history book that's accurate. There's no story that's accurate. It's all skewed, even so slightly. And that really I experienced in an airplane with four people flying the exact same, experiencing the exact same communications on the radio, the exact same information, all of that. And you come back from an hour of flying, a complex mission, and all four of us had a slightly different story and perspective.
Okay,
No, I was going to say, yeah.
You've got to understand the context of what you're reading.
You do.
Understand the context, but you look at it in a completely different waveform of what are you thinking about AI? Who programmed AI and what kind of things? You know, so AI is a huge part of now what is out there on the web, on, you know, anywhere. I mean,
And doesn't AI really just depend on who programmed it?
Who programmed it? I mean, don't they have a little bit of bias when they program?
Oh, they do. Right? They do.
So that's, and that's an interesting, the AI stuff is actually pretty interesting. There's some great interview. I watched an interview with one of the guys from Google that was a, you know, he helped develop it. I mean, a 58-year-old computer science guy. I mean, he's built most of the platforms. And what he really explained with AI, traditional programming was you figure out the solution and then you program, you write program that redoes that solution. AI is you don't know the answer and you give it to the computer and it figures it out. So to a certain extent, and rather rapidly, like we won't be like, there was a lot of argument that, hey, AI shouldn't even be allowed to be able to write code when they started, you know, because of that kind of stuff. It's a type of computing that we've never experienced. So
is it just building on its initial programming? Because if you, like that chat GPT, I remember someone did an experiment of talking, write a poem about, you know, to chat GPT, write a poem about my pride in being black. And it did. And then they did it did the same thing from different races. And white was the only one that it came back and said, I can't do that. That's not considered, you know, and I'm like, wait, someone programmed that in there.
So the interesting thing from one of the longer interviews that I listened to, I mean, clearly liberal focused. But if you really listen to what he's talking about the technology itself, you know, when he summed it up is, look, we need good people to go in because it's learning. It's a learning technology. Mm-hmm. And so if all the conservatives stay out of AI, guess who's feeding the learning?
True.
It's not a programming thing necessarily. It's pulling the information, learning, and it's got to learn. So it needs good, just like a kid.
Curating. And
yes, that's it was an interesting, I was like, huh? Cause of course that's, you got to understand the perspective, but it is not. And that's the scary thing. And what he was talking about was we will quickly have an entity that is smarter than mankind has ever known by magnitudes. Of course.
But then that goes also right into your subject of too much information. I mean, cause if it's learning and continuing to grow, I mean,
it will have the ability to contain a lot of this information, much more than us. But the human brain is the greatest computer we've ever known. Mm. So if we have trouble with it, I would say it would as well. But in what way? It's just, I think it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous.
It absolutely can be. You know, again, it's with all the technology, and I saw this as a social media marketer and a guy that has really dug deep into a lot of this, you know, back when Trump first got elected, and I'd see all of my conservative friends, oh, based on my feed, it's going to be a landslide election, and my liberal friends, oh, based on my feed, it's going to be a landslide election, and you got to understand the technology you're interfacing with. Uh-huh. You know, when you've got an algorithm designed to show you
what you want
to keep you in an echo chamber, because their job is they want to just keep you on the platform,
right?
And so if you don't understand that, then oh, nobody ever talked. Well, no, actually, somebody else is having a completely different conversation. You're just not part of it because, you know, you're in the wrong place.
Right.
So. I think it's better to get your news from aggregate sites. It kind of saves you from being in that where you're seeing all kinds of articles from all different types of publications.
Absolutely.
I think it gives you a little bit better understanding of what other people are thinking, even though it's hard to believe. But I think we all tend to want that echo chamber, honestly. We all tend to want to believe the worldview is kind of the worldview we subscribe to, maybe.
I think a lot of people do. I mean, it makes everybody's lives easier if that's the case, when in reality, it's not always the case.
I agree. I mean, just like this, I see on Fox News right now, Florida couple gets married inside a car wash. I don't know why in the world you would want to get married inside a car wash, but you know, my youngest son not too long ago was like, Mom, I don't think I've ever been with you in the car when we went through a car wash. We went through a car wash so he could have the experience of being inside the car during the car wash. Because I'm cheap. We wash the cars at home. And so we went through it and he was just like,
this is amazing.
Yeah. And you know what? This is so special. They chose to get married. That's kind of nuts. And looking at their age, this is definitely a second marriage indulgement here because, you know, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd tell my husband, look, this is a This ain't going to happen.
Yeah, and all the stuff going on in the world today, and we're wasting airtime on... I mean, I'm sorry, we're contributing airtime to the car wash.
Yeah, sure. All right, Butters, couple. I'm just giving an example here of, something...
She just happened to see it.
Because at this point, we're like,
poking,
squirrel.
I'm poking on Fox News.
Fox News, that is yeah, the I whole mean, thing on... I mean,
but,
it's still on.
But remember, what's their job... They want American viewers because they got to sell ads. So
true.
Apparently, that's what people want.
And they know their audience.
Is that what you guys want out there? You want to know more about people getting married and?
No, I wish that was not in my brain. I wish it didn't take up. I want that last 30 seconds back. But yeah, this is the stuff. So it's like fed to us like this: flash, 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 flash. And when you're stopping and concentrating on something different that quickly over and over and over again, your brain rewires itself and how it takes in information.
Have you got one last thought as we get close to?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree because I mean, I bet y'all already touched on that, but it's the whole like 8 second swipe thing, or maybe it's less than that. Mm-hmm. It's just the I'm not interested. Swipe up, not interested. Swipe. It's the Instagram. It's the Twitter. The instant gratification of moving
mm-hmm.
on. It's reprogramming. Our minds, even from a young age, because that's where they're really trying to hit now. And
absolutely.
So when they get older, it's going to be hard.
We're
going to
be a world
of
full of
ways.
ADD, like, hey, nobody can pay attention.
But it's
going to
be like in work. I mean, in everything. And mm-hmm. So it's going to be very
well,
interesting.
And
will you hang over one more segment with us?
I may be able to.
All right.
We need to focus before we hit the break on one really important thing that John from Huntsville says. What's up, Boomer? I saw you join my Capital One football mania group on the internet.
I did, John, and I'm excited to join in.
So he said, good luck. Good luck.
I did. I joined in, and I also, it is now, as the name is just Boomer and McQueen, because I needed McQueen's help because she was apparently second in the college pick'em, I believe, right behind you, John.
You got a good woman. Don't ever let her go.
I need some help.
All right. Hang over one more segment. Right. I got a funny story. All right. We will see you guys in just a minute. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio, where we're solid, conservative, and just plain right. And we have both Butters and Boomer still in here.
Yeah, woo-hoo! Yeah.
Woo-hoo! So I did my own sound effect there. Very excited. We were talking about too much information and kind of ending up. I've got a funny story to tell at the end, but Boomer, do you think the way we consume information now is part of the problem, not just the information itself?
I would say so. Maybe. I mean, what we just talked about on the way out mm-hmm. on the last segment, it was talking about the TikToks, the Twitter, mm-hmm. the Instagrams, and the younger generation. That's kind of where they're getting most of their information and trying to get it so quickly. And so they're not hearing the whole story. You know, that could be part of it too.
Yeah. And how you read things.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at screens versus my oldest like to read an actual book. And that's just a different experience than looking at a screen or even listening.
Yeah, the paper.
Yeah.
And what, you know, yeah, I get it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not much of a reader myself, but.
Neither of you.
My wife is. She loves it. My mom is. She loves it. But there's something different about book versus having a tablet in front of you the whole time. I mean, I don't know. Maybe y'all know this more than I do because I have a little kid growing up through school right now. Are they using actual books now, or are they just using the tablets or things like that for all the information now for textbooks?
Oh, no, it's mostly all on computer.
See?
For there every system. It's so not then, just the bigger systems. Most of the systems will have some sort of computer. But some, like, some will supplement. You'll have both. But I think it's essential to have some books in hand and be flipping the pages. It's a different immersive experience than reading on a screen and swiping or even listening.
Listening. That's what that
you don't retain as much listening. It's proven. And I know because there's books I've listened to and then I notice that I've already listened to it once and I'm like, well, I didn't even remember that. So, I mean, you know, it's whereas I've read the books I've read, you know.
Well, I think it also depends. So I've never been a big reader and I'm an auditory learner. Like I was a guy, like I couldn't skip classes.
Yeah.
When you know, all my friends were doing that, I'm like, I could sit through the classes, I just retain the information a whole lot better. But the cool thing is there's a lot of people that are really looking at how do we learn stuff? What, you know, how does the human brain work? We're learning more and more and more. And, you know, hopefully there's a lot of people, too, that are asking the question, like, our entire education system.
I think it's a very individual thing, and it's going to be individual learning process. I think everything's going to become more individual. Your learning process, way things are structured for you to learn. Even medicine is going to become much more individual in how you're treated for disease processes and stuff. It's going to be much more targeted. And I think your learning, the way you learn, is going to be much more targeted. All of these things. And that, in that way, technology is very helpful. Okay, so I've got like a News of the Weird story, and I read it, and it's so funny that I actually committed it to memory because...
You have it to memory?
Oh, yes. So I won't... just the one thing I don't remember is the town, but it's a township. You know how Pennsylvania has townships?
Right.
Okay. So it's a township in Pennsylvania. This guy broke in, did multiple break-ins in a night. The last house he broke in, he knocked over a whole bunch of stuff, broke the handle off a cast iron pan, and then smeared meat on himself. And later it came out that he was high on mushrooms. But I was like, wait a minute. Did they say he broke the handle on a cast iron pan? The heck? Was he on PCP?
What was he doing?
Do you know what you have to do to break the handle on a cast iron pan? That's all one piece. And by God, and somebody broke my cast iron pan.
You'd be mad.
Oh, I'd pick it back up and beat him with it. Because... That was passed down. I have my grandmother's cast iron pan.
And that's what stuck out to you in that story?
I was like, hold up. Did he just say break a handle on a cast iron pan?
I heard something about covering yourself in meat.
That's what I heard. That's what stuck out to me was covering yourself in meat.
That's the man and woman difference, I think. But I was like, hold up. Oh, when I saw a video online, they were talking, and this was all aimed at, you know, just it was a joke. And the guy was saying, showing things you should never do. And one of them, the kid goes, hi, Grandma, I washed your cast iron pan really well. And it showed where he had scrubbed it out. And I'm like, oh, I actually sucked in my breath. I was like, not that.
Don't do that.
Your cast iron pan is just, it's your, you know. It's a treasure. It's passed down.
So with a minute left, we've got grades in.
Oh.
Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
You read it.
Okay. So Butters, you did a fantastic job today. Nearly perfect. So you get an A++. Lee, you get an A++++, but only because I decided not to take points off your grade. For too many positive Alabama comments. Oh, consider that an early Christmas gift.
Thank you, John.
Boomer also gets an A++++ for his magician-like entrance and for not talking about Alabama football.
I did not.
So Boomer and Lee are today's co-champions. Congratulations.
I love it. That's awesome. Thank you for giving me that Christmas present. It's so good.
I knew with both of y'all showing up, I knew I didn't have a prayer today. So I gave up as soon as Boomer walked in.
You know.
I was just happy to join in with y'all today. That's what I enjoyed the most. And then I got to make a small appearance and say hello to all the ruffian world out there.
We so love that you stopped by. You're just special. And now they're all gonna start over again. Where's Boomer?
He just showed up
like a magician.
Maybe I'll do it again one day.
I hope so. Yeah. Absolutely. Or you'll have to call in and do like Boomer and Lee.
Well, Lee, I've enjoyed it. I think that's going to do it. The music is starting.
It's playing. I've enjoyed it as well. Thank you so much, Butters. We've had a great time.
right side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.